Welcome to the Midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland today, and I have a very special guest in the studio. Norwegian violinist and composer Henning Kraggerud is here. Welcome to the Midday. I should say welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It's so nice to be here again. I've had good times in this studio before.
Yes, I was saying before we went on the air that you must be a real audience favorite because you've come back so many times. It's wonderful to have you back.
Yeah, I also like very much to be here in Madison. Wonderful orchestra and wonderful conductor. So, and also this radio show is absolutely something I looked forward to coming to.
Well, I'm delighted. And I always ask, and I'll ask you, how did you get started playing? Were you born into a musical family?
My older brother had started violin at school, and then my mother went into a shop to buy a new string, and there was a wonderful old lady who were a violin teacher, and my mother started to talk with her, and she came home to me and said, "Do you want to play violin?" And I said, "Sure, yes." I didn't know what it meant, but I had a most wonderful start. This old lady, I had 2.5 hour long lessons where I first played my piece I've learned, and then she gave me cake and ice cream, and then then we were playing duets together after, and I told her about school, and she was like a friend. I kept visiting her the rest of her life, even after I quitted. She actually called one of Norway's best teachers when she thought it was the right time, so she passed me on.
Wow. How old were you when that started?
Well, I was about 7 years then, but then I kept visiting her until she lived until I was about 20. So she was a dear friend and the absolute best way I could have been introduced to classical music.
Oh, that just sounds lovely with cake and ice cream.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And interested in you as a person.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, she was a friend.
Yeah, yeah, that's really neat. Well, you're here not just to perform. You're going to perform with the Madison Symphony this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you're doing the Max Bruch Concerto, which is just magnificent, and it's a favorite. But you're also here as a composer, which is a first.
Yes, well, I have been composing actually since I was 8 years old, but this is the first time I play in the official program, at least, one of my pieces here in Madison. I think I did some encores earlier, which I had composed myself. But this time we will also, with the orchestra, we play 3 of my postludes from Equinox, which is a set of 24 postludes in every key for violin and orchestra.
So when I think of something for every key, I think of preludes, not postludes. You know, you think of Bach and Chopin,
yes,
and Scriabin and Shostakovich. And so why did you name them postludes and not preludes?
Well, the reason is that the author Jostein Gaarder, which some might know because he was very famous for Sophie's World, a book about philosophy 25 years ago, he wrote a story about a man who have a virtual travel in 24 time zones around the world. And when I do the full production with a narrator, then each of these small pieces are played after the text. So they come as postludes to the texts.
I see.
And also I wanted, because there are so many sets of 24 preludes already, I don't think there were any of 24 postludes, and now there is.
So you'll be performing 3 of these with the orchestra.
Yes.
And there is a wonderful recording of these. And why don't we hear one of them? Can you tell us what the first one is that you're going to be performing this weekend?
Yes, it's postlude number 2. And in Jostein Gaarder, this text, we are now at the Karls Bridge in Prague in Czechia, and the water flows under the bridge, and there is lots of street artists at the bridge and people selling stuff, and it's very sort of hectic atmosphere, but also a little bit frightening at times.
And how do you express this through your music?
Well, you will soon hear.
Okay. This is the postlude number 2 in Prague, Henning Kraggerud's,
yes,
composition, and Henning Kraggerud playing the violin.
Thank you.
postlude number 2.
It's in D minor.
In D minor. And boy, that's just wonderful.
Thank you.
And the sound of the violin is just extraordinary on top of all that's going on.
Thank you. It's a Guarneri del Gesso from 1744.
That's the one you're holding in your hand right now.
Yes, indeed. A very famous violin maker from Cremona.
How did you obtain your violin?
Well, it is a company in Norway called Dextra Musica who owns quite a few instruments, and they celebrate 10-year anniversary, and this was one of the very first violins they bought, and I was so incredibly lucky to get to borrow this instrument. Of course, it's completely out of anybody's league regarding money, so it's virtually impossible to own these instruments anymore, but I get to borrow it, so...
It's just magnificent. When you were warming up, it was just sending chills.
Thank you.
When it comes across in that recording and on top of that orchestration, your orchestra, and that's an orchestra that you are artistic director of,
artistic director for Arctic Philharmonic Chamber Orchestra, which is the northernmost orchestra in the world. And they are about 21 magnificent string players. So I'm there 5 or 6 weeks a year, and also planned who else they will invite in the other weeks.
When you say northernmost, are they north of the Arctic Circle?
Yes, they are. And they are 2 hours straight north from Oslo with the airplane. So if you look at similar places in Canada and Alaska, hardly any people live. But due to the Gulf Stream, you can actually live in Tromsø.
Tromsø is the name of the town.
Yes. Mm.
Just wonderful. And we were talking while the music was playing a little bit about how you compose and how you find time. And you said you can do it on airplanes and in airports and hotel rooms.
Well, I don't like to compose there, but I have to compose on top of everything else I do. So I end up, for instance, when I've composed this Equinox, I hardly slept for 2 years and I composed everywhere. But I mean, if I have time, I rather compose in a hotel room than at the airport. Yes. Mm. But you know, with deadlines for everything, sometimes I end up composing in every spare moment.
One other question about the structure of the piece. So we have the postludes, they're played after the narration.
Yes.
And it ends with an overture.
Yes, and that, of course, it's explained with the text, because since we always travel eastwards and we start in Greenwich, everything takes place in Greenwich, and then Prague is 1 hour east of Greenwich. And then you travel around the world, 24 hours, actually all takes place at the same time. And it's a sort of a virtual travel anyway, so it's kind of magical travel. And when he's back again, the main character in London, he's back at the same time. And then you get the reason in the overture, but I don't think we have enough time, so I can tell the whole story, unfortunately.
It is a wonderful story, and it's a wonderful interweaving of the... it's kind of a multimedia thing with the literature and music, and it is magical, yeah.
Yes, I mean, I was very happy that it's specially written for this project, and Jostein Gaarder wrote it, and it has just been translated to English, so I will see if I can... make it available somehow, the text as well. But the music is already available, of course.
We're going to hear one more from this. It has a totally different feel. We're going to head over to Asia.
Yes, in China. And actually, the main character there meets God, who is writing a new autobiography. So it's a very special story there. So I thought of how could I possibly try to orchestrate and do that. And A flat major used to have some sort of magical and other properties to it. And we will see now it's built on a pentatonic scales to flavor it a little bit for the East. And I hope you like it. Thank you.
That's the postlude number 9, taking place in China, starting just after sunset with the insects and next to the lake. It's just beautiful.
Actually, Justin Godre have been on most of the places he describes, and all of them are 15 degrees apart around the world. So he did really nice research also. And he was in Greenwich when he wrote it, and all the temperatures and wind and weather is what actually took place that very moment when it takes place.
Wow. So it's very true to the circumstances.
That's, yes. Yeah. But there is lots of imagination in the text as well. So it's not a dry text.
And there is plenty. Well, there are 24 of these plus the overture.
Yes.
And you have composed some wonderful opportunities for yourself also to showcase your abilities. There is some wicked, wonderful playing.
Actually, when you mention it, I get so involved when I compose that I completely forget about that. And later when I had to learn it myself, I was like almost swearing and thinking, oh, why did I compose it that difficult at places?
Well, at least as the composer, you can change things if you want to.
Well, I don't like to change for that reasons, but I'm an opportunist. Yes. Yeah. And when we did the actual recording, I had a wonderful producer, Sean Lewis, who did absolutely magnificent job. He did one little mistake when he cut postlude number 24. So the rhythm was changed a tiny bit, but it was better than what I composed. So I changed my score instead of correcting it.
Well, you know, we've had violinist composers over the years from the Baroque, you know, Corelli and Veracini and Bieber and so forth, and up to Kreisler. And then it seemed to kind of stop. We haven't had a lot of composer violinists until, now it's nice to hear you doing it. Is this something that you're committed to continue doing, or is this a one-time thing? Are you encouraging this in others?
I actually, where I teach at Barrett Lewis Music Institute, I encourage my students to compose their own cadenzas, improvise, try to compose pieces themselves. My daughter, who is 10 years old and play the violin, she has already composed for a couple of years herself. And I want to bring this tradition back to classical music, because I think it is a problem that so few players actually compose themselves, and also so few composers are active performers these days. I had a wonderful teacher from I was around 11 years old, Leif Jørgensen, who really said, because I was already so much into composing then, and he said, but don't quit playing. He said, we need composers who all also perform. And so this is like a mission for me. I would like, if there is any young listeners here who play an instrument, try to compose, try to improvise. You might be much better at it than you think yourself. And when I go around and have masterclasses and encourage people to improvise, people would sometimes say to me, oh, I can't do that. And then I ask, well, how often have you done it? And maybe they have tried it only 2 or 3 times. But then when you encourage people, they find out that most people have this talent. And I think music is a language. So it's important that we think in this language also, that we don't imagine if it was compared with English, if somebody only rehearsed Shakespeare plays, but never had a conversation, never wrote small texts or did anything like that. So for classic music to be live, living through language again, I think we need to use it in all ways. Think it, express ourselves in it, improvise together with other people. It's like a conversation. So this is a mission I have, and I think has certainly helped me a lot as a performer also. I think the way I play as a violinist, I could not have done this way if I did not compose.
Well, you talked about improvising, and you're holding your beautiful Guarneri del Gesù in your hand.
Yes.
So why don't you improvise something for us?
Yes. I mean, I can do just improvisation, or if you want to give me a few notes. Any letters between A and G are usually note names.
How about la, 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 la? Or you can put it into a different key.
No, no, that's fine.
That was extraordinary and not planned in advance.
Thank you. And thanks for providing very beautiful singing of those four notes.
That really was just totally improvised. And that was beautiful.
Yes, I improvise every day for many reasons. One is to make a very short path between my thought and the output. So it's not overly intellectualized, but that it comes directly from the source. Another thing is that sometimes if I have a particularly good idea, I will write it down and use it for a composition. So
that's a great idea.
Yes.
Yes, and it keeps the creative juices flowing.
Yes, and I think it's much more fun this way, that I have my violin and I can always play. Whenever people ask me, can you play? And I can play. I have played for people in airports, even in a bus one time.
No
and,
kidding.
Restaurants, you know. So if people want to hear some music, I can just unpack the violin and play. I don't need to sort of practice.
And you don't need sheet music. All you need is your mind and your creativity.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes you can get, you know, very inspired. And it's interesting to know that so many of the great composers really used a lot of time improvising. Beethoven, for instance, was known for 10 years mostly as an improviser before he got famous as a composer. Mozart improvised, Chopin improvised, Debussy improvised, and all of them said that it was the most important source for their music. So improvisation is another thing I would like really to bring back and be used more. A few weeks ago, I had a concert together with Gabriela Montero, this wonderful pianist, and we improvised together. That was fantastic. And I also did a CD with a jazz pianist, Bugge Wesseltoft, called Last Spring, where we improvise over Norwegian folk tunes, which I think was also a very, very nice experience.
Sounds like maybe it's something we should bring into our curricula here.
Well, I will see
composition schools.
If I brought a copy, I will give one to you.
Well, Henning Kragerud, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it, for sharing your time and talent.
Well, it's been a pleasure to be here again.
Henning is performing this weekend with the Madison Symphony Orchestra, the Max Bruch Concerto. There's also music by Sir Edward Elgar in the South, and there's the wonderful Beethoven Symphony No. 6 on the program, and three of the postludes from Equinox by Henning Kragerud. It's going to be a wonderful program. And you can find details about that on our website at WPR.org. Just click on events, or you can also go to madisonsymphony.org.